And now I'd like to welcome Julian Lucek. Julian is a senior distinguished systems engineer at Juniper with a history at British Telecom and a PhD in physics. And today he will talk about automated congestion avoidance with an SDN controller. So Julian, thanks for joining us and the stage is yours.
Thank you very much. Yes, so the background behind this talk is that when it comes to traffic management in networks, people traditionally have done it very manually. They look at the traffic graphs. If the link is getting a bit congested, they might tweak the IGP metrics to try to move traffic away, or they might put in some tactical traffic engineered LSPs just to act as a bypass for that congestion point. It's a bit cumbersome, time consuming, trouble prone, but now with an SDN controller, you can do it fully automatically. So what I want to do is to talk about exactly how to achieve that. So first of all, let us have a look at a diagram showing a schematic. And so nowadays you can get controllers for the wide area network. And this type of device is a live controller directly coupled to the production network, as opposed to being some sort of offline tool or something like that. And it has a lot of visibility of what's happening in the network right now. And so it uses BGP-LS to see what is the current topology of the network, meaning what is the layout of the links and nodes, what is the bandwidth of each of the links, is it a 10 gig link, is it a 100 gig link, and also a lot of traffic information, live traffic information coming via streaming telemetry. And so what is being streamed from the routers is, first of all, information about how much traffic is traveling currently on each physical link, and also how much traffic is entering each traffic engineered LSP that exists on the network. These types of controllers typically have a graphical UI for human interaction, and also REST APIs northbound to talk to an orchestrator if one's being used. And what the controller is doing is making decisions about the paths that traffic engineered LSPs ought to take across the networks. It's doing the path computation according to the different inputs that it receives. And then it can create LSPs using the PSEP protocol. So it signals using the PSEP protocol. It says to the ingress router, I want this new LSP. This is the precise path I want it to follow. That LSP can be either segment routed or can be RSVP. It works either way for this type of use case. And then on an ongoing basis, the controller can tune the paths of LSPs according to the observed conditions in a closed loop manner, perhaps because the delay on a link has changed, or in order to deal with congestion, or in order to do self-healing, it can create a maintenance on a link or a node and move LSPs away. So let's have a look now in more detail about how the traffic management actually works. So here's a diagram of that. And so we've got a network here. I've shown a few traffic engineered LSPs. In reality, there would be more, but I've just shown a few just to make the diagram easier to see. And the controller can see how much traffic is on each physical link. It can see how much traffic is entering each of those traffic engineered LSPs, because router R1 is reporting to the controller how much traffic is sending at this minute into the purple LSP and the blue one. Router R4 is reporting how much traffic it's sending into the green one. And what you can do is you can set a threshold. You can set a threshold on each link, which is your comfort level in terms of traffic. Like you might set it to 85%. And in this example, the controller has seen through the streaming telemetry that the traffic on the link between R2 and R3 has reached that congestion threshold. And so that triggers the controller to look at what LSPs are passing through the link. It knows that these three LSPs are passing through the link. It knows how much traffic is on each of those LSPs through the streaming telemetry. And so it has all of the information it needs in order to work out which LSPs to move away to ease the congestion. And of course, when determining what LSPs to move, it needs to make sure not to cause congestion elsewhere. And so in the example, let's suppose it decides to move the blue LSP. It recomputes the path of the blue LSP and it determines that the path is R1, R5, R6, R7, and it sends a PSET message to the ingress router, which is R1, and says, okay, I want you to move this LSP onto this new path that I am stipulating. And then R1 responds by moving the LSP in a make before break manner. And of course, it's the controller that's dictating what the path should be, not the ingress router, because it's the controller that's got the global visibility. It can see all the traffic around the network. It can see which link is congested and so on. And so as you can see, without any human intervention whatsoever, fully automatically in this closed loop fashion, the controller has moved the traffic from the congested link. There's less traffic now on the congested link. It's below the congestion threshold. And so the network is now running smoothly. And we've got customers who've deployed this for the last couple of years or so, and they say that it's greatly reduced the operational effort, the amount of effort needed to deal with congestion management across their backbone. Now, there's an interesting misconception, actually, because sometimes people think that for this type of scheme to be useful, you need to have a full mesh of traffic engineered LSPs between all your edge routers, between all of your PEs, a full mesh of SR LSPs, a full mesh of RSVP LSPs, whichever type you're using. But that's not actually the case because of the typical traffic patterns that you get in the vast majority of networks. And so I can show you an example. This particular example is a fictitious one, but it's on the basis of real ones that one sees from real networks. And the diagram is showing the traffic matrix. So you've got the different PEs around the network labeled from A to L across the x-axis, and again labeled from A to L across the y-axis. And so if you've got n edge routers, you'll have n squared demands, n squared cells in this matrix. And each of the cells, the height of each cell is corresponding to the amount of traffic that that particular demand is carrying. And so you'll see that, for example, router K along the back row, it's like a mountain range. It's sending a lot of traffic to each of the other nodes in the network. Same for router A on the front side. But then some of the routers in the middle, like router F, is sending hardly any traffic to any of the other routers in the network. And so in fact, if you consider these demands, you only need to underpin the large demands with TE LSPs. And so only those mountains need to be underpinned with traffic engineered LSPs. While if, for example, it's a segment routed network, the foothills, those small blue lumps, can just be underpinned with normal shortest path forwarding. If it's labeled traffic that you're carrying, that can be using SR node SIDs. And so that greatly reduces the number of TE LSPs. To give you a real example that I saw a couple of weeks ago, I saw a traffic matrix from a real production network. It was international transit provider, and the top 3% of demands were actually carrying 80% of the traffic. And so, as you can see, a very small proportion of the total demands in the traffic matrix are carrying the vast majority of the traffic. And so if you were to take a cross section across a particular link in the network, so this is looking at a particular physical link, you'll have a mix of traffic using it. There'll be a lot of demands that are underpinned by shortest path forwarding. Those are those small blue lumps in the previous diagram. They will be, you know, perhaps many hundreds of these on a particular link. And then you'll have a smaller number of SRTE LSPs. These are the traffic engineered LSPs. In reality, there might be several dozen of these on a particular link in a production network. And so although, as I say, most of the demands are being carried by shortest path forwarding, that's just sort of background radiation, if you like, the majority of the traffic is being carried by the SRTE LSPs. Now, when the telemetry is reporting how much traffic is on a physical link, it's just reporting the total amount of traffic. It doesn't care if it's TE traffic or plain IP traffic or shortest path SR node SID traffic. It's just one number that's compared against the congestion threshold by the controller. And then the degree of freedom that the controller has to move traffic to ease the congestion on this particular link is to move one or more SRTE LSPs. So that's the essence of how it works. So that's a very good example of closed loop automation coming to networking with the aid of an SDN controller. If you want to know more, there's a blog which contains more details about how the scheme works. And that brings me to the end. So if there's any questions, we have Peter answer them, or feel free to ping me offline as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was very interesting. And I think especially that traffic matrix is a great visualization to understand, like, do we need to take care of everything, or is maybe just the top talkers good enough? And that reduces complexity enormously in some cases, right?
Indeed.
So yeah, there's actually a question coming in. What algorithm or logic will be applied by controller in case of an outage, keeping in mind some reroute traffic or potentially congestion on other links? Is there any sort of protection against potential cascade outage?
Yes. The thing is, with this type of scheme, certainly you don't want it to be too trigger happy. You don't want it to be too responsive. You don't want it to be moving traffic just because of a momentary traffic spike, because by the time it's moved the LSPs, you know, that spike will have already propagated through the network. And so although the routers can actually send streaming telemetry at extremely high frequencies nowadays, you know, they can be sending an update every couple of seconds, you don't really want the controller to be quite that reactive. And so in practice, it's good practice to have some, dampening. And so by default, in fact, on our controller, we average the incoming traffic to 1 minute. You can change that value according to your needs, but 1 minute's a pretty good trade-off between being overly responsive and being, too slow to react, at the other end of the spectrum. The other thing, as mentioned in the question, is that one needs to avoid causing congestion elsewhere. And so the algorithm does take that into account. And so it's not blindly moving LSPs away. It's actually doing a consideration where it's effectively saying to itself, okay, if I move this LSP onto this new candidate path, would that be successful? Would I be comfortably below the congestion threshold on the new links that this LSP occupies? So it takes all that, into account. When it comes to a link failure, again, the controller needs to work out how to move traffic around and, consider, avoiding congestion where possible. Another thing that's, sort of orthogonal to what I've described, but is a useful supplement, is that one can use these types of controllers also as simulation tools. And so what you can do is to take a snapshot of the network. So that would be the topology of the network, all of the traffic patterns around the network, open it up in a sandbox, and then do simulations that don't affect the real network. So you could say, okay, do me an exhaustive failure simulation of every possible link failure or double simultaneous link failures, every possible, combinatorial pair of link failures that could occur, and it would then report on whether the network is actually robust against such failures. So that's pretty good for having headroom.
That would be an interesting thing to maybe see as a demo in at a future occasion. I think we're now running out of time.
Okay.
So maybe we can welcome you back with a quick demonstration on
that. Would be brilliant.
As a simulation. That would be interesting.
That'd be perfect.
So thank you very much. Super interesting topic. We're running out of time now, and thus again another thank you. It was great having you, and now we move to the closing.